the free state of glory, Jesus is coming quickly. What do we do in the meantime? Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, the Lord says. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Holy Father God, from your holy word give us wisdom, give us knowledge and understanding by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'd open up your holy word by the power of your Holy Spirit for all to understand. That indeed your holy word is true and faithful. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would have continued mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And Lord, we pray that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the precious blood of Christ. Crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew, and afresh and anew fill us with the anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit, as we are weak and we feel weak this afternoon. So give us spiritual, mental, and physical grace and strength for this service and for this meeting. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and hide us behind the cross in a very real sense. And Lord, speak to our hearts about your second coming. Give us freedom and liberty. And speak to hearts outside of this place. And we pray for millions to hear the gospel and to come to know your Savior before it is eternally too late. Revive those of us who are Christians and make us fit for your use. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save those who are nearest hell today, and reclaim every backslidden soul. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. For some reason, unusually so, I have a strange headache that just happened right before the services. The devil normally does stuff like this, but never such a severe situation. So if you're led to pray for my healing as I continue to move forward and preach God's word. The Free State of Glory, part 29. Jesus is coming quickly. What do we do in the meantime? Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, heaven is more than a destination. It is, he said, a motivation as well. And I hope that it is for you, dear Christian friend, knowing that we shall dwell in the heavenly city ought to make a difference in our lives here and now. Is going to heaven impacting your life right now for the Lord? The vision of the heavenly city motivated the patriarchs as they walked with God and served him, knowing that he was returning to the Father in heaven. Also encouraged Jesus Christ as he faced the cross in total humiliation before the world. And the assurance of heaven must not lull us into complacency. Amen, somebody. I told a family member within the last 24 hours, God is opening up doors for you. God is blessing you. But don't get complacent. Complacent. Don't drop your guard. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because the devil is seeking to destroy you before you get to where you're going. We should not be lulled into complacency or callousness, he said. But heaven ought to motivate us. Heaven ought to spur us to fulfill our spiritual duties. To pray a lot, to witness a lot, to tell others about Jesus, and other duties and responsibilities. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, ever since the founding of the church, there have been periods throughout history when much of the world's population thought the world was coming to an abrupt end, and many Christians thought Jesus was coming back. The early church always believed that Jesus would return soon. And they saw the destruction of the temple in AD 70 as a major sign pointing to that. In the Middle Ages, the church in Europe saw the Muslim conquerors conquering, taking over the Eastern Roman Empire as a sign of the end of the world. And if you were there, you would have thought the same. World War I and World War II were also considered harbingers of the apocalypse. And so, beloved, in every generation and now in ours, the world has wondered if the end is nigh, and Christians have wondered about how soon Christ will come. This, of course, is due to the numerous statements in the New Testament from Christ's own words that indicate that he will return quickly, or soon, or shortly. In this very passage, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And this was 2,000 years ago. What could he possibly mean by that? The Greek word translated as quickly means swift, at once, or speedily. The meaning of the word is intended for us to understand that when Christ comes back, it will happen suddenly, quickly, shortly, and swiftly, if you will. There will be no time to prepare. It's going to be more like a blink of an eye, or even a twinkle of the eye. That's quick. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, confirming both the truth and possibility of comprehending the prophecies previously given, the angel told John that the words of this book are trustworthy and true. The purpose of these communications is not to bewilder and confuse, but to reveal many of the things that must soon take place. This directly contradicts the point of view of many scholars that the book of Revelation is somewhat an imponderable mystery for which no key is available today. And what the author of this commentary is saying, that's just not the case. God wants us to understand it. This book is the word of God and not the vague imaginations of John. In addition, it is intended to describe future events. When taken in its literal, ordinary meaning, this is exactly what it does, even though much of Revelation is written in symbolic form. The Word of God was not given to be obscure. It was given to be understood by those taught by the Holy Spirit. The theme of Revelation is stated again in verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. Also, he is coming quickly. The Greek word tachy may be, or tachy, may be translated soon or quickly. And from the divine standpoint, both are true. The coming of Christ is always soon from the standpoint of the saints' foreview of the future. And when it occurs, it will come suddenly or quickly. You will not have time to get ready. You will not have time to clean up your life. It will come very quickly and pass very quickly. Accordingly, a special blessing is pronounced on those who believe and heed the prophecy of the book. As stated earlier, this last book of the Bible, so neglected by the church, many in the church, that is, and with its meanings confused by many expositors, contains more promises of blessing than any other book of Holy Scripture. End of quote. And then, speaking of the quickness of Christ's coming, Dr. John Piper said, when the New Testament speaks of the Lord being near or at the gates or at hand, it is not teaching a necessary time frame for the Lord's appearance. Rather, it's saying that Christ, the long-expected Messiah, has come once for all, decisively, in his life and death and resurrection, fighting the major battle. He has set in motion an end-time process of gathering messianic people. He has fulfilled many end-time prophecies. We are in the last days. We have been for 2,000 years in the last days, and therefore Jesus is like a king, if you will, in complete control, standing with his army outside the city, waiting to take it captive. Nothing can stand between him and that capture except his own will, amen, somebody. And so, beloved, whenever the Lord chooses to return, he will do so without hesitation, and in the words of my dad, Daniel White Jr., with a quickness. If he wanted me to do something or he wanted somebody to do something, he said, he would say, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it with a quickness. When the Lord comes back, he will come back with the quickness. It will be quick. When it all starts, it will go by very fast. And so that's why it is important, beloved, for you to trust Christ as your Savior today, while the blood is running warm in your veins, while you have a chance. In the meantime, we are to keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's what we should be doing until he comes. And the truth of the matter is, we have so much to keep us busy until the Lord comes. We don't need to be worried about when he's coming. We need to be concerned about doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen, somebody. One of the things I've learned regarding industry the people who do well in business are people who focus on what they do best, and they don't worry about who's going to buy or who's going to advertise and get it this way and that way. They do a great job on what they do. They build a better mousetrap, if you will, and they just keep their head down and keep building quality stuff, and the money comes. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to transfer that into the spiritual realm. We need to stop worrying about when the Lord is going to come back. We need to stop worrying about what other people are doing, and we need to put our head down in prayer, put our head down in witnessing to others, in passing out good news pamphlets, gospel tracts, telling as many people as we can, and leave the results in the second coming to God. Amen, somebody. Do what God has equipped you to do. Those who do so are blessed. What does it mean to keep the sayings of Revelation? When we say that we are keeping the Ten Commandments, we mean that we are obeying the commandments and allowing them to influence our lives. In the same way, we ought to allow the prophecies of Revelation to influence our lives. These words are more than just the subject of Bible studies and theological debate. We must live in light of these words, holding close to our hearts the reality that Jesus could return today. Every day we must live as if Jesus could come back at any moment. That's the whole point. Don't worry about when he's coming. Just understand that he can come back at any moment, and you need to be ready, and your light needs to be burning, and you need to be shining for Jesus instead of down at the pool hall partying and at the club and in somebody's bed you're not supposed to be in. Be ready when he returns. Amen, somebody. That's the whole point. The whole point is for you not to know when he's going to come. That's why he set it up this way. And he wants you to understand that he can come back at any time. And so you need to be always ready. Your light ought to always be shining so that others can hear and see the gospel, so that they can be saved from hell as well. William M. Runyon wrote in closing today from Olive's Hill, the multitude upgazing beheld until the Savior passed from view. But radiant heralds uttered words of promise, he who has gone shall come again to you. Again, but not in weakness. Again, but not in sorrow. Again, but not for bitter pain and loss. The Son of God shall come in glory splendid. Again, but not to bear shame's bitter cross. Again, the nation shall behold him. Again, enrobed in majesty. In clouds of glory, every eye shall see him. Again, the King of glory see. Amen, somebody. And so, beloved, if you want to be taken up in the rapture, if you want to go to heaven and be a part of the kingdom of God, to live in heaven with God in Christ and with the saints, allow me to share with you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, dear friend, please accept the fact that you are a sinner. and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sins. We suffer because of our sins. And by the way, thank you for praying for me. The headache is gone. But we have headaches and we get sick. And we die because of sin. Our body goes to the grave, back to the dust where we came from. But our soul lives forever somewhere in heaven or hell. Yes, my dear friend, there is a hell. You cannot live like you want to live and be Mr. Independent or Miss Independent, when in reality you're dependent upon God every second of your life. If God pulled his hand back from you right now, you would drop dead. Do not be a fool. You know you did not create yourself. You know you did not bless yourself. All of the gifts and talents and good looks you have, and the money that you might have, you didn't do it. God did it. And so please understand that you cannot go to heaven if you act like the devil, because Jesus spoke about how that hell was not created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But if you look like the devil and act like the devil and talk like the devil, you will go to hell with the devil. That's just a fact. If you look like a criminal, you steal like a criminal, you rob like a criminal, you lie like a criminal, you will go to jail with the criminals. Same. Sin is always punished. And that leads me to my third point. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. If you die without Christ in your life, you will go to hell. It's just a simple fact. No one is trying to scare you. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's bad news. Hell is bad news. However, it is a reality. You say, preacher, I don't believe that there's a hell. Well, tell me, where is ISIS going? Where is the man going who molests little children? Where is he going? I don't care if he's a priest, a doctor, or Indian chief. Where is he going? He can't go to heaven. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell, no matter what you have done. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is, everlasting life in heaven with God. You say, preacher, how can I do that? How can I receive this gift of salvation from God? By faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins as the sacrificial lamb who came and died and took away the sins of the world. That's the good news. That's the good news for you and for me. And I've been preaching it now for 40 years, and I get excited about it just thinking about it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. It's a wonderful thing. So, dear friend, if you would trust Christ as Savior today in your heart, I will lead you in prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Step by step, phrase by phrase, follow me and pray and ask God to save your soul. through faith in Christ, his Son. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wretched sinner and that I have done evil in your sight, that I have broken your commandments at some point in my life, and that I deserve hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul, because I do not want to go to hell for my sins, even though that's what I deserve. I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to change and to follow you into the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, that is the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have done the most important thing in life, and I assure you that you will never regret it. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.